This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 megahertz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can also call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Michael Welch, speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more great community radio.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Winnipeg, Manitoba, on occupied Anishinaabe Aking, the homeland of the Métis and the historical territory of the Nahiyawak and the Nakota.
Good morning, friends. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol McKibben.
We are the Saturday morning show here for
we think
the next
we are.
Two hours, 6 until 8.
And I think then Ron's got problems with his headphones.
And then it will be Green Planet Monitor, following that, of course, Mud Puddle Radio at 9.
Good.
This half hour, give you the weather, quick look at the sports. Carol goes on the roof.
And, why not?
And takes the snow off her little, yeah. Not by so just by dusting.
Barely even a dusting.
And then we've got a little something extra for you here. A little, little Christmas music. Sort of. And the weather's here. All right, excellent. All right. Coming up. Yes, well, inquiring minds want to know. Carol Gibbon, what is the weather?
Well, I can tell you anecdotally, it's not too bad out there. It is, of course, a little chilly. It's minus 7. The barometric pressure, 102.3 and falling. Humidity, 85%. Wind coming from the north-northwest at 16, and it's gusting to 30, although we didn't notice it, but there's an excuse there. Wind chill, minus 13.
There you go.
Yep, it's going to be cloudy today. Wind up to 15 kilometers an hour, and the high minus 6. So it's not going to, the temperature is not going to move that much today.
Well, I think normal high is about minus 4 this time of the year, anyway. There you go.
Well, yes.
Right,
that's
sure.
Good.
Quick look at sports. The Jets, hockey. Winnipeg Jets played the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. Jets cruise to a 4-1 victory. Last goal, an empty net goal, but. No, they were in control right from the start off. Then the Nashville Predators tonight, 6 o'clock. Minnesota Wild on Monday on 7 at 7. In the American Hockey League, the Manitoba Moose play Chicago Wolves today at 2. Western Hockey League, Brandon Wheat Kings play the Tri-City Americans last night. Big effort in the last period, as they've done through most of this season, to no avail. Wheaties lost 4-1. The Belfast Giants played the Guildford Flames, and I'm quoting here now, inflicted a 2-0 defeat. And you go, ow.
Okay.
Yes. And they play the Nottingham Panthers today at 2.
Do you know what the name of their league is? Or?
Well, it's Elite, and they seem to play in several different leagues and play for several different trophies.
Oh, I see.
And sometimes
okay.
They crisscross,
so
come together.
To right.
There's a berumption at the junction. Football, CFL, Winnipeg Blue Bombers have re-signed. The leg that walked like a man, Sergio Castillo. He was deadly.
Well done.
He sometimes even beyond 50 yards.
Yes.
Sometimes I think he could just
didn't
have
he
a kick from home.
61 yard once?
Once.
Yeah.
I think, yes.
Well, that's pretty good.
And a big piece in the Winnipeg Free Press today of Mike O'Shea, I see, defending the calls that were made, backing his coaches in the fashion that we lost the Grey Cup, which then led to a big article on how stubborn Michael O'Shea is and wrong in today's Winnipeg Free Press. I think it's Jeff Hamilton. We didn't get our paper, so I'm just scrolling online.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And speaking of sports, like big obit last... Oh, I didn't tear up the... I put the date on this. I was going to say sometime in the past week. Anyways, for Maurice Morinot. Born on Christmas Day, 1929 in Winnipeg. Yes, quite a long career. But the part we want to concentrate on, the general manager of the Red River Exhibition for 18 years. Built it from a small country fair to a 10-day multi-million dollar enterprise. But Mo is best remembered by fellow Winnipeggers as the voice announcing the tackles and touchdowns at Winnipeg Stadium, beginning in 1962 and for 582 consecutive Blue Bomber games, including the frigid 1991 Grey Cup.
So do you remember him?
The voice, yes, yeah. But we didn't go to that many games. This wouldn't be the radio.
Oh, I see. It's right there at the game.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Otherwise, they would have mentioned which radio station and all.
Oh, I see.
Which would probably have been CJOB, I think, through all those years. I did give my another little note to Hover. Most connection to
your
football.
Your brother would remember him.
True.
Yep.
Most connection to football and local sports even deeper. He acted as the president of the St. Mattel Bulldogs. Senior football organization in the late 1960s, president of St. Boniface Football Association in the 70s, and for his contribution to sport, inducted into the Manitoba Sports Hall of Fame in 2007, as well as the Football Manitoba Hall of Fame and the Manitoba Lacrosse Hall of Fame, both in 2018. 6 minutes after six. Well, I can't tell you his age because 95th. Just 6 weeks shy of his 95th birthday. That's
yeah, I was doing the math in my head, and that's what I came up with.
And because I was turning to, age doesn't matter unless you're a cheese.
Right.
So we have a quote here for you. The love we have in our youth is superficial compared to the love that an old man has for his wife, says historian Will Durant.
Oh, right.
He married Ariel. They ran away together when she was about 16 or something. And one of
very
his students.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very bad. Right.
So here's one other quote for you then. To get it right, be born with luck or else make it. Never give up. Get the knack of getting people to help you and also pitch in yourself. A little money helps, but what really gets it right is never, I repeat, never under any condition face the facts.
Aww.
So says actress writer Ruth Gordon.
Oh, right.
Remember, but a snappy little soul she was on screen as well.
Yep.
6:07 then as we turn to, we go back, go way, way back. Before we send Carol up on the roof, we're going back to 40s and 50s for your easy listening hit parade. I'm a little concerned about this song, Carol.
What?
Hold me, thrill me, kiss me. It's a bit much for 6:08. How about a handshake?
Shouldn't it be hold me, kiss me, thrill me? I think they were in the wrong order there.
I see what you're saying. I'd get to know someone first. Well, anyways, built on the insistent rock rhythm, popular in the 50s, of course. Hold me, thrill me, kiss me. Number 5 hit, million seller in 1952 for singer Karen Chandler.
Slowly out of my mind. do, so kiss me, kiss me. Make me tell you I'm in love with you. Stood in the dark with you, love. When you take me in your arms and drive me slowly out of my mind, kiss me, kiss me. And when you do, I know that you will miss me, miss me. If we ever say adieu, so kiss me, kiss me. Make me tell you
for 1952, maybe this time in the morning. As I say, a million seller in 52. She was born Eva Nadeau in Rexburg, Idaho. Had worked with Benny Goodman's band in the late 40s under the name Eve Young, and later with gospel-oriented choral singer Mel Carter when he turned to pop in the mid-60s. Her other hits included Goodbye, Charlie, Goodbye, and Why. This sounds like a saga. One leading into the other.
Right.
Yeah, who knows? 6:12. We'll have a little bit of music before we send Carol up on the roof. Who wants to sing? Gotta sing. Gotta sing.
Well, we like singing.
Sing, everybody. What do the holidays mean to you? Says the Free Press Community Review West from recent vintage, November 20th. River City Sound to perform That's Christmas to Me. I'm sorry, I put a little extra emphasis on that. Just that's Christmas to me. On November 30th. So this will be a collection of holiday classics, new and old, for anyone to enjoy, whether they celebrate Christmas or not. Concert will take place at the Prairie Spirit United Church, located at 207 Thompson Drive, where? Off Portage Avenue, 207 Thompson Drive. Now, the group formerly known as the Winnipeg Golden Chordsmen, I didn't know that they had been folded into.
Wow.
They've been putting on a Christmas concert for 76 years because of the longevity of the tradition. It's always mixing things up, adding new songs to its repertoire. So River City Sound will be joined by the St. James Assiniboia Children's Choir for the first time. So with that in mind, then, here's something that we're going to be singing in our Christmas concert.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Only we're going to Albert Hall for this.
What?
So you expect the sound like.
We're going to Albert Hall today.
The Royal Choral Society.
Yes.
Oh,
Ach, lieber Augustin. There you go. From 1992, the Royal Choral Society, Carol Concert Live from the Royal Albert Hall. I got this for free.
What?
Well, you buy something at Into the Music,
and
on the way out, there's a box of help yourself to something.
Stuff that they couldn't sell.
Well, I only take one. If you buy something, you only feel it's only right to take one.
Good for you.
This was originally sold for £1.99 somewhere at a shop called Book Sale.
Right.
And you can always flash your card for a discount on regular price merchandise. Ah. It's Into the Music as well from CKUW. That's the Friends card.
Right.
617. Just to finish with that concert here, the River City Sound, to perform That's Christmas to Me, November 30th. It's Prairie Spirit United Church, 207 Thompson Drive. Each song represents a different feeling brought on by this time of year and encourages the audience to elicit memories about the season, says the show's producer. River City Sound, 46 members, work to their own level of commitment. I like that, Carol. Without too much stress or pressure, which makes it a fun group, but everyone still needs to pull their weight.
Yeah.
And so as we finish with, new members always being accepted. For more information, one word, River City Sound. RiverCitySound.ca.
Okay.
What about?
Well, did you know that Silent Night is an intangible cultural heritage?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's on the list by UNESCO. You know, they have lists of buildings, historic places, that sort of thing. Excuse me. But they also have lists of intangible sort of folklore, customs, beliefs, traditions, knowledge, language, that kind of thing. So this is on that list of intangible cultural heritage put together by UNESCO.
Intangible, that's mm-hmm. what you are.
Yep.
Yes, at 618.
Yep.
Ruth Etting, that her birthday today, born 1896. I guess 10 Cents a Dance was her big song. American stage, radio, screen, singer. Died in 1978. To over 60 hit recordings, which is, as I say, stage, radio, film, known as America's Sweetheart of Song, signature tunes, Shine On, Harvest Moon, Love Me or Leave Me, and this, 10 Cents a Dance, and ay, 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 what a life this woman had. See if we can get her to sing.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, she thought she should reverse direction. Let's see if we can still find her, though.
Okay.
Stockings are for us with holes in the toes. I'm there to close.
breaking my eardrum. Customers crush my toes. Sometimes I think I found my hero, but it's a queer romance. All that you need is a ticket. Come on, big boy, 10 cents a dance.
Oh, Ruth Edding there. Birthday today from wow. 10 Cents a Dance, from a cassette that was her titled 10 Cents a Dance. So I mentioned Big Noise through the 20s and the 30s. She enjoyed singing school, church, never took any formal singing lessons. She was managed by Mo Snyder, whom she married in 1922, known for being very protective of Ruth, keeping her out of trouble in the dangerous city, referring to her as the Little Lady, along with other affection names. So he made arrangements for her recording and film contracts, as well as her personal appearances. She became nationally known when she appeared in Flo Ziegfeld's Follies of 1927. She actually intended to retire from performing in 35, but it did not happen until after a messy divorce from Snyder in 37. She fell in love, I guess, with her pianist, Merle Alderman, who was separated from his wife, and they began a relationship. Snyder did not like seeing his former wife in the company of other men, began making telephone threats. He traveled to Los Angeles and detained Alderman after he left a local radio station, forced him to take him to the home of his ex-wife at gunpoint, saying he intended to kill Etting, Alderman, and his own daughter, Edith, who worked for Etting. So he actually did shoot Alderman, and 3 days after Alderman was shot, of course, his wife filed suit against Edding for alienation of affection, as they used to say back then.
Okay.
Anyways, they claimed to have been married in Mexico, as they often do, in 38, in which the couple retired from public life, of course, relocated to a farm outside of Colorado Springs, Colorado. So her fictionalized story was told in the musical film Love Me or Leave Me from 1955 with Doris Day. Ruth Edding and James Cagney as Mo Snyder at 6:24. So, see if we can dig up the jumble I was just thinking. Although we've got to look it up online. Yep. But in the meantime,
yep, I found it.
Well, first, though, I think, Carl, we should put you on the roof. If you want to stand on your chair there. Open the cupboard door. See what we can find in the way of. Yep. Oh, yep. We're getting something now.
Are you one of the frightened? Arthur Wingate was a fairly well-to-do lawyer in the small town of Morrisville. It's a quiet, orderly town. Nothing out of the way ever happens there, or so he would have thought for 30 years. But then one day, all of it changed, and his whole life lay before him, just like the day he saw those men digging that fresh grave just inside the cemetery gate on his way home from work. You resemble Arthur Wingate, friend. So listen closely, and you may avoid the terrible thing that happened to him. It had been a hot, dusty day in Morrisville. Possibly it was the hot sun, but a sudden headache came over Arthur Wingate. His hands were moist, his brow feverish. He decided to go home to his own farmland just over the hill beyond town. It wasn't too long a walk. Maybe the fresh air would do him some good. So Arthur Wingate left his office and walked slowly down Main Street. It was odd, but he met no one on the way. Soon he was drawing abreast of the long, low-lying wall that bordered Morrisville's only cemetery. The rhythmic sound of pickaxes attacking the soft sod came to him from beyond the wall. Someone had died. Life and death went on in Morrisville, same as any other town. But opposite the front gate, the sounds of digging were loudest. Arthur Wingate suddenly halted in confusion. No one had died recently, to his knowledge, except, of course, the Starkey boy, and his burial had been a month ago. Puzzled, Arthur Wingate went into the cemetery. And just inside the wall, two men were grimly spading the earth into heaping, ugly mounds. The heads and shoulders of the men were barely visible. Wingate approached them and asked them what they were doing. The faces of the two men were strange to him, but they both seemed to consider his question even stranger. Somebody died, the taller of the two sneered, and they both jeered at Arthur Wingate, whose headache was suddenly worse. Feverishly, he stumbled from the cemetery and finally reached home. The day had been too much for him. He fell into a long, exhausted sleep, but his mind wouldn't let him rest. The scene at the cemetery stayed with him. Who could have died? Arthur Wingate felt the cold wind of something fan his spine. He had a curious sensation of unreality that he could not shake off. He couldn't wait a second longer. He left his home near midnight and ran to the cemetery. It looked eerie, forlorn, and cold in the moonlight. The metal gate squealed as he stepped inside. He splashed light in the direction of where he remembered the grave to be. It was still there, but there was something else, too. A pine box was placed to one side of the grave, its lid angled backward to show its contents. Arthur Wingate drew nearer and slowly, fearfully aimed his flashlight at the interior of the oblong box. The fact that it was empty was far more frightening than if it had been occupied. There was a tag on the box, dangling from a metal hinge. The wind in the graveyard howled and tore at the thing as Arthur Wingate held it up to the light. Scrawled across the tag in a spidery hand were the words, Arthur Wingate, 1907-1957. He saw no more. A hideous scream ripped from his throat and he pitched forward into the empty box, the lid slamming down behind him, shutting him in. Of course, when they found him there the next morning, he was dead. Heart attack. Nothing had been written on the tag except a series of number indicating the grave's dimensions. And the box had been for the Starkey boy because his grave was being moved at his mother's request. But Arthur Wingate had met his death. By premonition, by fate, by manifest destiny? Yes, perhaps. It's an interesting tale, isn't it? Quiet, unusual. But I hear them all the time. In my business, you understand. Huh? Oh, I'm an undertaker. Can I interest you in a plot of ground at our summer rates?
Agent Radio Waves. On and 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 on. You recognize that voice?
Boris.
Boris Karloff, of course. Boris born on this day, I think, is what's... We had an anniversary for. Although his real name.
Yes.
Henry Pratt, of course. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. And
he came to Canada with a theater troupe that traveled across. Born in 1887.
They stop at Pantages or?
Don't know where he played here, but.
You
know,
places.
Born in 1887, died in 1969. Also known as the Mummy.
Oh, right.
Frankenstein.
Right.
Right. So it is 6:30. You were saying you had a jumble?
I do have a jumble for you. Are you ready?
We're doing an online
jumble.
How
much coffee have you had?
Well, some.
All right. Here we go. N-T-O-H-M.
Mouth. M-T-H-O-U-N.
No.
Month.
Yes.
That's month without the... That's a different spelling. That's the iridium.
Without a U and with an N.
There's no... Yes. How many months have the letter U in them? We'll get back to you later on that as we turn to this week's Uniter, which is the local paper here. It comes out every week, University of Winnipeg. I myself was editor for 1 week.
Yes.
Of the Uniter back in a previous century. And we use this, we try and use it every Thursday when I do Pages, Radio for Readers.
That's right.
As it comes out Thursday and available here on campus. And then you can actually find copies at Hildegard's, the restaurant there on Portage
sure.
in
yep.
Maryland.
Yep.
And occasionally, I believe as well, sometimes at Into the Music. What caught my eye was this, Ancient Chants Meet Modern Song. Procession of monk-like figures clad in hooded cloaks emerge from the darkness of a dimly lit stage, commencing the start of Gregorian, pure Chant with an S. It's like month, but they U. Chants. So they're embarking on their first ever tour in Canada. Gregorian will perform at the West End Cultural Center November 25th as part of their Pure Chants World Tour. Now, the chap they talked to, why for his enthusiasm for Gregorian chants, came from when he watched the 1986 film, The Name of the Rose. Thought that one day he might want to do something with this sound. Indeed. A Gregorian show is, quote, always going to be fun. It's always going to be really good music. That's a given. It's difficult to describe, but completely addictive from what I've been told. Gregorian concerts range from small, intimate shows to arena productions. The group incorporates lasers, fires, and all kinds of unexpected visuals from an ensemble of chanting monks. I'm not sure what you're allowed to do at the West End Cultural Center, mind you. So, Gregorian, Pure Chants, Monday, November 25th, 7:30 p.m. at the West End Cultural Center. That's 586 Ellis Avenue. Tickets start at $38.99 online. I don't think you need to worry about resale there and the battle that Taylor Swift and friends are going through, if you get my drift.
Oh, right.
6:33. So what we were listening there to was the Benedictine monks of Santo Domingo de Silos from their CD, very cleverly titled Chant, which I bought for a dollar into the music.
Wow.
Something to chant about, 6:34.
Yep. Do you want to go to the movies?
I think we should go to the movies. For the Turner Classic Movie Show, that is. So online, I looked it up. I find now I have to wait till about Monday to get for next Saturday. Sunday, don't ask me why.
Okay.
Don't ask me why. So, 10:25 this morning, Hold That Line, 1952, The Bowery Boys. It's football, of course. So I mentioned Hans Hall will be there as well. 2 p.m., Yentl, 1983, Barbara Streisand. So you want to be a student. So she dresses up like a boy.
Oh,
right.
Right.
10 p.m., The Gunfighter from 1950. Fastest Gun Wants to Retire. Well, you've got a pretty good idea how that's going to turn out. Starring Gregory Peck, 10 o'clock tonight. Then Sunday, 3:45 a.m., McCabe and Mrs. Miller. Did you ever see that?
I don't think I did.
Directed by Robert Altman, 1971.
Right.
Warren Beatty, Julie Christie.
Yeah,
Western,
I don't
of course.
Think I did.
10:15, Sunday morning, The Magnificent Ambersons from 1942, directed by Orson Welles, Joseph Cotten.
I have seen that.
4 p.m., Woman of the Year, Sunday, 1942,
yes,
Spencer
that.
Tracy, Katharine Hepburn.
Yes, of course.
Yep. And then...
Yes?
10 o'clock.
Right.
Is going to be The Maltese Falcon from 1941, directed by... John Huston, Humphrey Bogart, Sidney Greenstreet, Peter Lorre, Mary Astor. Well, as we know, Mary Astor goes bad is what happens.
I'll say.
So I'm thinking we might do our comedy a little bit early.
Okay.
So I think we'll turn to the Bickersons then. Thinking of... this is a problem that other people would be familiar with. It's Don Ameche, of course, and Francis Langford.
The Bickersons have retired. Mrs. Bickerson dozes in fits and starts as husband John, cursed with the rarest type of insomnia in the annals of medical history, fights another losing battle during an acute stage of his chronic malady. Listen.
You're giggling like a girl at a first party. What are you dreaming about?
Party girl.
What?
What'd you say, Blanche?
I'm just not going to stand for it. One of us is going to have to sleep in the kitchen.
Take the blanket with you.
I'm I'm not moving. If you're going to snore your head off and giggle all night, get out of the bedroom.
Blanche, why don't you leave me alone?
I'll bet I haven't had 10 minutes sleep all night. And then I had a terrible dream.
That's too bad.
If I have a dream again that you kissed Gloria Goosey, I'll never speak to you again as long as I live. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh. What?
In front of a whole room full of people, too.
Blanche, have you gone crazy?
Don't try to get out of it. Everybody saw you.
Nobody saw me. You dreamed it.
That's a pretty poor excuse, John Dickerson.
I don't have to make any excuse. I didn't do anything. Can I help it if you dream I kissed Gloria Goosby? Can she help it?
I noticed she didn't try to stop you.
She never tries to stop me. I wouldn't kiss Gloria Goosby if she were the last woman on earth. I hate Gloria Goosby. Now, are you satisfied?
Maybe I am, but you're going to have to explain to her husband, Leo.
Explain what?
There would have been an awful fight. Lucky for you, I woke up just as he came in.
What are you going to do with a woman like that? You better see a psychiatrist, Blanche.
That's right. Try and make me believe I'm crazy. Have me put away in an institution. Lock me in a padded cell.
Nobody's going to lock you in a padded cell.
Let me spend the rest of my life in a restraining sheet. Nobody to talk to. Always alone.
Blanche!
Why don't you come and visit me, John?
You're putting on this act to ruin my night's sleep. You've succeeded.
My brother Amos warned me about marrying you.
Amos.
Believe me, I'm finding out plenty now. The things you said when I first met you. Such promises. Before you married me, you told me you were well off.
I was, but I didn't know it. Good night, Blanche.
We barely have enough to eat. Everybody makes a good salary except you. Why don't you get a paying job?
Oh, now, don't go maligning my job. It pays fine.
The minute I asked you for an extra few dollars, you jumped down my throat.
Listen, last month you went to the doctor 3 times. You got fitted for new glasses. You had 2 teeth pulled. $70 for your own private pleasure. You think I'm made of money?
You're the one who wastes it. You throw it away on silly things.
I deny myself everything. I save every nickel I can. How do I throw money away?
Didn't you pay $22 for that fire extinguisher?
Well, certainly.
We've had it a whole year and never used it once.
I'll set fire to the house in the morning.
Why don't you return it and get your money back?
Okay, I'll take it back tomorrow.
You say it, but you won't do it. Take it back to the store now.
What?
Go on, get up and take the fire extinguisher back.
Blanche, you must be out of your mind. It's 2:30 in the morning.
Wake the man up. He has no business selling it to you in the first place.
Blanche, as sure as you're born, if I take that fire extinguisher back, the house will burn down.
I wish it would. I hate this pest hole. My pantry is overrun with ants.
Ants in your pantry.
You talk about wasting money. We could have had that lovely bungalow in Westwood if you hadn't insisted on buying an automobile.
Oh, a man's got to have an automobile.
But that bungalow is only a stone's throw from the bus line.
Got no time to throw stones at buses. Blanche, all I want to do is sleep.
Sure, sleep your life away. That's the trouble with you. You have no initiative. Look at Mel Shaw. He came to California 6 years ago without a dime in his pocket.
Mm.
He borrowed a basket from a hardware store and peddled little statues from door to door. What do you suppose he's worth today?
Nothing, and he still owes for the basket. Blanche, it's almost 3:00.
Amos has the right idea. He's in politics now. He's running for assemblyman in the 5th Ward.
He couldn't run for dog catcher.
I'll bet he'll be elected. You'll see. He's a good politician.
What do you know about politics? You've never even voted in your life.
I did yesterday. 8 times.
8 times?
Amos showed me how. It's so simple. All you have to do is use a different name each time. We copied them off tombstones.
A political ghoul. Now, you stay out of that racket. Do you hear me, Blanche?
I think it's a wonderful business. You ought to go into politics, John. There's a fortune in it. I read only yesterday where some senator was put in jail for grafting $100,000. Why don't you do it?
Go to jail for grafting?
No, be a senator or something. Maybe you and Amos could be the next governors of Georgia.
I see. Some things never go away. Some things are as current as... There we are.
Something to do with the governor of
the Bickersons, original broadcast from radio's golden age. Francis Langford, who also was a singer, of course. And Don Ameche, who also was an actor of film as well. 6:42, Carol McKibben.
Yep.
And on this day, Susan Boyle...
Yes.
...released her debut album. Not surprisingly, it was called... I Dreamed a Dream.
Right.
Do you remember?
Yes.
A Scottish singer rose to fame in 2009 after appearing as a contestant on the third series of the television talent show Britain's Got Talent.
Yes.
With Mr. Pruneface there sitting in the corner.
Yep.
Doubting that she could sing at all.
Yes.
You could probably pick it up on YouTube. It was there before.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure it'll be there for an
Ever.
Eternity.
Yep.
And then she wowed him with this. Susan Boyle with the title track from her debut album, I Dreamed a Dream. And it did very well indeed, as I say. It one of the best-selling albums of the 21st century. Sold over 10 million copies worldwide. Best-selling album internationally in 2009. She had a success as well with The Gift, her second album. Became the third act ever, the first female artist to top both the UK and US album charts with two different albums
wow.
in the same year. Doesn't perform, I think, all that much anymore. And the reason I say that is because the most recent information I had was she went back home, of course, which was Scotland.
I think the whole experience was overwhelming.
Well, it was.
Yeah.
November 2014, no, we wanted... I was going to say anyways that she had a stroke in 2023.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know how serious that was.
Right.
At 6:46. Who are we? Where are we? Here's a man who knows.
This is Mark Critch, author of Son of a Critch, a childish Newfoundland memoir, and you're listening to CKUW-FM 95.9.
Right, you are at 6:47. On this day, 1936, Robert Johnson, his first recording session, in Texas. What I have is, how many CDs are in this? Just the two, I guess. Columbia recordings. Robert Johns, the complete recordings. So you realize he didn't do an awful lot before he died. Huh. Definitive set, every master and alternate take of every song Johnson recorded over 50 years ago, indeed. 11 780 RPM records were issued during his lifetime, and one posthumously. They were just, quote, race records then, not a casual attempt to try to capitalize on the blues. Needless to say, they were enough to establish his identity wherever he went, afford him a degree of fame and fortune for the short time he lived after the release. Here's one of his songs, which has been recorded and recorded and recorded. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get up in the morning. I believe I'll dust my broom. I'm gonna get up in the morning. I believe I'll dust my broom. The black man you've been loving, good friend can get my room. I'm gonna write a letter, telephone every town I know. I'm gonna write a letter, telephone every town I know. If I can't find in West Helena, she must be in East Monroe, I know. I don't want no woman, won't send a downtown man she meet. I don't want no woman, won't send a downtown man she meet. She's a no good Tony. They shouldn't lie on the street. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. You can mistreat me here, babe, but you can't when I go home. And I'm getting up in the morning. I believe I'll dust my broom. I'm getting up in the morning. I believe I'll dust my broom. Up in the black man you've been loving. Get in my room. I'm gonna call up Johnny. She's my good girl over there. I'm gonna call up Johnny. She's my good girl over there. If I can't find on Philippines Island, she must be in Ethiopia somewhere.
Johnson, Dust My Broom, which I guess most of us know from Skip James' version of it.
Right.
So this was his recordings, first recording session on this day in 1936. Robert Leroy Johnson, he died in 1938, which made him about 37 when
Goodness.
He died.
Wow.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame describes him as perhaps the first ever rock star. And the little booklet that comes with the complete recordings, a couple of pages written up by Eric Clapton as well.
Oh, wow.
About what it meant to him. And all the lyrics, which you hardly ever find.
Anymore.
Royal Blue Songs.
Yeah.
651. On this day.
Yes.
Gun in the Jumble.
Really?
There was just a moment there. Just I had it. It could be a blip.
You want one?
Sure, why not?
Okay. L-E-K-T-N.
Knelt. Yes. Really cute.
Man.
That is cute.
It is so hard to get
so
you.
So hard. 652.
I thought you'd never get that one.
Born on this day in 1928. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck, you know. T-U-R-N-I-P. Turnip. You're feeling low.
Yes.
Jerry Bock. Born on this day. American Broadway composer.
Oh, I was going to say, back to the movies.
Mm-hmm. For, well, we best know him. We best know him for this.
Broadway.
See if you can identify.
Sure.
Thistle, you're the oldest. Yenta has to make a match for you before she can make one for me. Oh, Yenta, Yenta. Well, somebody has to arrange the matches. Young people can't decide these things for themselves.
Well, she might bring someone wonderful.
Someone interesting.
And well off.
And important.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find. Catch me a catch. Matchmaker, matchmaker, look through your book and make me a perfect match.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, I'll bring the fame. You bring the groom, slender and pale. Bring me a ring, for I'm longing to be the envy of all I see.
For Papa, make him a scholar.
For Mama, make him rich as a king. And
for me, well, I wouldn't taller if he were as handsome as anything.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a fine, catch me a catch. Night after night in the dark I'm alone.
So find me a match of my own.
Since when are you interested in a match, Hopper? I thought you just had your eye on your books.
And you have your eye on the rabbi's son.
Well, why not? We only have one rabbi, and he only has one son. Why shouldn't I want the best?
Because you're a girl from a poor family. So whatever Yenta brings, you'll take. Right? Of course, right.
Huddle! Oh, Huddle! Have I made a match for you? He's handsome. He's young. All right, he's 62. But he's a nice man, a good catch. True? True. I promise you'll be happy. And even if you're not, there's more to life than that.
Don't ask me what.
Be a lucky bride. He's handsome. He's tall. That is, from side to side. But he's a nice man. A good catch, right? Right. You heard he has a temper. He'll beat you every night. But only when he's sober. So you're all right.
Did you think you'd get a prince?
Well, I'll find the best I can. With no dowry, no money, no family background. Be glad you got a man.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, you know that I'm still very young. Please, take your time.
Up to this minute, I misunderstood that I could get stuck for good.
Yenta, see that he's gentle in bed. You were also obliged. It's not that I'm sentimental. It's just that I'm terrified.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, plan me no plans. I'm in no rush. Maybe I've learned playing with matches a girl can get burned.
So
Gavolt. He's only 62. He's tall from side to side.
Yep.
Llama, llama, llama. Jerry Bock.
Well, that was Rosalind Harris, Michelle Marsh, and Neva Small.
Jerry Bock, born on this day, 1928, died in 2010, American musical theater composer. Tony Award for Best Musical and the Pulitzer Prize for Drama with Sheldon Harnick for the 1959 musical Fiorello, which would have been the mayor of New York. Tony Award for Best Composer and Lyricist for the 1964 musical Fiddler on the Roof. Studied piano as a child? Yes, don't they all? One of their songs together, a three-part story of Alice, was performed by the Chad Mitchell Trio on their Blown in the Wind album of 1962. Huh? And the early days, 56, the duo Clarence Harnick and Bach collaborated on the musical Mr. Wonderful, which was designed specifically for Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, really?
After which they worked on. So no wonder it isn't. Who are you going to put in to replace Sammy Davis Jr.?
Yeah, no, really.
Yep. And I occasionally hear songs from that between 6 and 7 on CJNU in the mornings.
Oh, right.
With Chuck Southcutt. He likes Sammy Davis Jr. He plays songs from that. Mm-hmm. But it's not all paved with roses. I wouldn't want to walk on a road paved with roses anyways. But anyways, because the two of them worked on Ziegfeld Follies of 1956, which closed out of town. Never even got to Broadway. It's like you might as well put your money on the races if you want to invest in a Broadway. Yeah. At 6:58.
Okay.
We'll be back after 7 o'clock. Don't want you panicking. But I've got a little something here about Spade Cooley from our big box of Doughboys, Playboys, and Cowboys, the golden years of Western swing. His name was Donnell, actually, her name was Lucille, but she called herself Lil, and everyone knew her as Nancy. So his name was Donnell, but they called him Spade.
Okay.
Spade Cooley, American Western swing
fiddler,
band leader, TV personality, had a heart attack during intermission. On this day in 1969, I guess, died at the age of 58.
Yikes.
That settles that.
I've rambled round from town to town, and now I'd like to settle down. Believe me, dear, that I have learned what it means to love and for you yearn. So please forgive one more time, take me back and say you're mine. I'm sad and blue and for you pine, so please forgive me one more time.